be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women with your host, Deanne DeMarco. On today's program, you'll meet the next business and entrepreneurial rising star. You'll learn from their successes, challenges, and life lessons to find out what has made them recognized in their fields. Now, here is your host, Deanne DeMarco.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women. I'm your host, Deanne DeMarco. This show is being sponsored by Breaking Boundaries International. Breaking Boundaries provides personalized coaching and corporate training services to business professionals and organizations. If you're looking to break through your personal boundaries and career roadblocks, Breaking Boundaries International can help. Breaking Boundaries International has won national recognition from Training Magazine's Top 100 for their management coaching clinic programs. Their services include business coaching for entrepreneurs and business professionals and corporate training. Breaking Boundaries can provide a motivational business speaker for your next business meeting or conference. They can be reached at www.breaking-boundaries.com or give them a call at 866-91-COACH. Well, if you are ready to take the next steps to become empowered and motivated and better equipped for success, then stay tuned. I have got two terrific guests today. My first one is Carolyn Gable. And let me tell you about Carolyn. Carolyn is a single mother of seven. And she has a rags-to-riches story, which seems almost impossible. After high school, she was a beautician for a year before settling in as a waitress for over a decade. Her waitressing stint is where she honed valuable skills that ultimately led to a sales position with a freight company. When the freight company industry was deregulated, Carolyn took a gigantic risk, and she started her own freight company from her kitchen table. This ultimate result, New Age Transportation. Now sit down, everybody. New Age Transportation generates revenues in excess of $25 million a year. The author of Everything I Knew as a CEO, I Learned as a Waitress, Carolyn loves sharing her story and principles for success. By the way, this is a really good book. She serves on the Fetzer Advisory Council on Business Professions for the Fetzer Institute and is the founder of Expect a Miracle Foundation to support and encourage single mothers. Carolyn is living proof that individuals can overcome obstacles, beat the odds, and succeed. Carolyn, welcome to today's Inspiring Women.
Thank you. What a great introduction. I think I can hang up now. Thank you. That was lovely.
You are truly an inspiring woman. I mean, you started your company from your kitchen table.
Yeah.
Man, I love that.
Well, you know, things just evolve, right? And we bloom where we're planted, and it just happened to be that I was forced to do that.
Well, you know, you have this powerful rags-to-riches story. You started out as a waitress, and you have become one of the most respected CEOs in the trucking industry. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey from waitress to this multimillionaire CEO?
Yes. You know, it's like I said, it's a great story. Like you said, it's phenomenal. I look at it as it was divinely orchestrated. But for many, many years, I was a struggling single mom with two boys. you know, got out of high school, no education. You know, I graduated in 1969, and it was very limited at that time what you could do if you were a woman. You could be a nurse, a beautician, a secretary, a teacher. There were no women in business. You know, even to be a lawyer or something even bigger was so out of reach. Yeah. So I didn't want to go to college. I really didn't like high school. And went on to be a beautician and then got into waitressing and really liked it. I was very good at it. I made a lot of money at it, but I knew it was going to take me absolutely nowhere in life. And the older I got, the more I wanted to get out of it, but I couldn't. And if anybody's a waitress or a waiter, they know exactly what I'm talking about. It's kind of the golden handcuffs. You make a lot of money and it's hard to find a job. But anyway, by the grace of God, I finally, after maybe 50 interviews, got a job in a trucking company. And after I got in those big golden doors, then I begged to be put in sales, and I had different opportunities. And like I said, things, when you're on that path and you have the awareness that, okay, the fairy godmother is not coming, this is a great opportunity, more opportunities come. And then in 1989, I had been a commission rep for several different companies. And then in 1989, I formed New Age Transportation, where I would now work with all, I had maybe 14 different companies I was working for on commission, and formed them under one umbrella. And it just took off. It just really, I was the right person in the right place at the right time. And like I said, it was divinely orchestrated. I had great customers. I had great mentors. But I was ready. I was 35 years old or in my young 30s at that time. I had gone through the school of hard knocks for so long that I knew that the blessings were coming. And so when I speak to women, I always tell them that you may be going through some hard times now, but I promise you it's only a launching pad to something so much better.
But, you know, after reading your book, you had a lot of tenacity as well. I mean,
yes.
You just never gave up.
Right.
And
you can't.
Just,
if you're a single mom, you don't have the luxury of giving up.
That's
it's
true.
Not in the cards. You have to get up every day. You have to go to work. You have to support your children.
Yes,
so there's
true.
Not a day where you can sit back and say, okay, I'm just going to roll up the covers and go to bed. It doesn't work like that.
Tell us a little bit about some of those challenges that you had to face in your early journey.
Well, it was tough. I mean, there were nights where I would go into work and, again, the waitress, you know, you make some good money, but then there's also really bad nights. And you go home and you barely have enough money to pay the babysitter. And you've got rent and you've got, you know, your children want to be in this sport and this activity and this trip and that school trip. And there is no extra money for all of that. So it's very difficult. You know, if you have to get a set, which I did, I many, many years worked two jobs. You know, I did what I had to do. But never in a million years, in my wildest fantasies, did I ever think that all of that was going to take me on a journey to where I'm at today.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I just want to touch on just a little bit more is rejection.
Yes.
Talk to us just a little bit about how did you deal with rejection? How did you face it?
It was very difficult. When I was a waitress and I would go to an employment agency and or on different interviews, people would always say the same thing. It was 100% hands down the same thing. You're a waitress, you have no education, you really have no basic skills, and, you know, get out of here for wasting my time.
Mm-hmm.
But so, you know, I heard it a lot. But it was, again, it was all part of the process because I hear it a lot in my business. No, we can't do that. No, you know, we don't want you as our carrier. No, we don't like your pricing. And I never have the opportunity to sit back and say, oh, okay, all right, well, I'll just roll it all up and go back home. You just say, okay, your no is somebody else's yes. So you reframe it. You reframe every situation to what can I get out of this? What is the life lesson? What is the learning? And then you move on.
And I think that was one of the things that when I read in your book, when you talked about rejection in it, that just really shouted out at me, because I think so many times, especially as women, you know, people tell us, oh, you can't do that. You're not pretty enough or whatever. And we just take it to heart and we think, oh, dearie me, rather than just putting our heels to the ground and saying, No.
Yes, exactly. Right, right. And when you can do that, when you can look at it, rejection, fear, right in the face and say, oh, no, no, this is my life. It may be the only life I'll ever live. I'm not going to waste these moments, these years. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to forge ahead. And it's the women that do that, that turn around and there's nobody behind them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody who is successful seems to have that same story, that they kept forging through. They kept taking no as you know, okay, this is going to take me to the next level. Thank you for that no, because now I'm going to do this. To be creative. And sometimes when we're in these really difficult situations, a bad job, a bad boss, a bad marriage, you know, a single mom, you know, when we're forced to make these decisions, it's great. You know, it's like the birth of the baby, right? It's so painful. But then it's like, wow, okay, this is cool. Now the baby's here. But you have to go through that pain, unfortunately, through life, to get stronger.
And I think
when
you're
going through it, don't have a pity party, but say, okay, you know, there's a lesson here I need to learn so I can move on.
You know, one of the questions I have for you, here you are in this male-dominated occupation, and you are this, our listening audience can't see it, but you are a petite, very beautiful blonde. How did you deal with the stereotypes?
Thank you. You know what? And I use that. I definitely use that to my ability. And I always say that we are women and we're beautiful and we have a flow about us and we have a vulnerability that maybe men don't have. Use all that. Use these qualities in your daily life, in your business, at the highest level, you know, not at the lowest level, but at the highest level. So go in, and it doesn't make a difference what you weigh, you know, it's that feeling of confidence that, wow, I'm going to use this to the highest good. So sure, I mean, it was a male-dominated industry, so when I walked in, it was, wow, okay, this is kind of cool, having a woman wait on us, or a woman deal with us. No women have really been in this industry. But now, you know, things obviously have changed, and more women have gotten into it. But it was never, I shouldn't say never. I'm sure there were a lot of men that were like, oh, she's a woman, what does she know? But for the most part, most men were kind of excited for it. They like the opportunity of helping women. There are a lot of men out there that really, really like the idea of helping women.
Hmm. Interesting. I didn't realize that.
Yes.
Yeah, because I would have thought that with the stereotype that people wouldn't want to do business with you because you were a woman.
No, you know, again, we have these qualities. We are so detail-orientated. We care. We are grateful. We are appreciative. We are there. We're on it because, you know, we're moms, too. So we just know these skills innately. And then when you're doing that in business, men like dealing with women because of all of that. We follow through. So I always say it's a huge advantage dealing with women. Huge.
Well, I think so, too, but I'm biased.
Yes, of course. Yes, yes. But no, most men, if you get them in a room, will say the same thing.
Interesting.
That women are much better. I mean, there's so many reports and studies about it now that it's almost a fact that, you know, men are, they're myopic. They see one thing, they do one thing. That's how their brain works, where we multitask. We can do it all. We remember it all. There's definite advantages to being a woman in the freight industry, in the, you know, tool and die, whatever the profession is. So use that to your ability.
Very interesting. Well, we're going to have to take a really short break here. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about what are some of the key drivers that we need to be successful. And
okay.
This is Deanne DeMarco with Carolyn Gable, and we'll come back to you in just a few minutes.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment. Do you ever feel stuck on a hamster wheel? Constantly running but getting nowhere? Ready to try something different? The secret is actually quite simple. When you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place, personally and professionally. Each week, you can find out how to choose your energy and change your life with your host, Deborah Jane Wells. It's time to get unstuck. Reclaim your personal power and recapture your zest for living. Tune in to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life. Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at DeanneDeMarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at DeanneDeMarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco with Today's Inspiring Women, and we are speaking with Carolyn Gable, who is a rag-to-riches story, who started this multi-million dollar trucking company from her kitchen table. Carolyn, just before break, we had talked about a number of different items, but I really would like to focus in on what are some of those key drivers that a person, especially a woman, needs to be successful.
Well, I think you have to have extreme tenacity, extreme sense of self that you can do it, that no matter what path you are on, that you have the ability to handle it. I think a lot of women give up, you know, the old saying, you give up before the miracle happens. You know, you're going to hear a lot of no's. You're going to get a lot of resistance, but it only is resisting you to make you stronger. So keep calling, keep calling, keep calling. I can tell you personally, I have so many people that call me on a daily basis from selling everything from IT to you just name it. But I may not need them at the moment. But it's that person that keeps calling that when I do have the need, I always say, okay, well, this woman or this man has called me for, you know, 100 times. That's the person that we call. And I think people give up. I think we give up along the path saying it's too hard. I'm not getting anything. No one's responding. And so I think the absolute number one key is just don't give up.
I think that's very important. I think one of the things I just heard you say is that you might have a salesperson call you over and over and over. So even though you've told them no, 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 they keep calling you because at some point you're eventually going to say yes.
Yes, exactly. And I haven't said no to them. I haven't said no to them. I just haven't called them back. I just haven't called them back. So unfortunately, I think our human nature, we hear a no when they're not calling us back or they're not interested. But really, it's only I'm not interested at the moment. I had lunch yesterday with my banker, and we were talking about that. Who changes banks? You know, I mean, if you're dealing with a bank, you usually are with them for a very long time. But people change. I get calls all the time to deal with another bank. I would never change, but if things happened where I was forced to change, I would call the person that kept calling me.
So even if they just left a message and you never called them back?
Yes, yes, because they keep calling. They keep calling. And we do the same thing in our business. We'll call, hi, do you have any freight going out today? You know, this is Sonia from New Age Transportation. We'd love to help you. Just because that person hasn't called back doesn't mean they're saying, I don't want to deal with you. I always say until the customer calls back and says, you know what, don't call me anymore. Keep calling. And eventually they will pick up the phone because they will say, you know what, no one. They may say, 10 people have called me today looking for freight. But eventually they will pick up the phone and say, no one has called as often as you have. Okay, here's the shipment quote on it. And that's how it works.
I think that's really important because I think so many times, and I don't care what business you're in, you know, you do leave messages and people don't call you back and you say, oh, I'll just scratch them off my list.
Right.
And
that's the worst mistake you could ever make.
I think that's a really important. I think that's a very important key.
Yes. Studies have shown it takes 9 calls before you're going to get a response. And the average salesperson gives up after 5. It's crazy.
Interesting. Did not know that.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. So you just got to keep calling. Just keep calling, keep calling. Eventually, we are all human beings. We all have the same wants, same needs, even if we're in business. And, you know, our hearts go out to that person that keeps calling. God love you. You know, You never gave up. Okay. I could tell you how many people that I have dealt with in business just because of that, because they never gave up. That's who I want to do business with. I want to do business with somebody who really wants my business.
I think that's an important point.
Yeah.
You know, in your book, Everything I Knew as a CEO, I Learned as a Waitress, you talk about never saying anything bad about a competitor. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Right. Well, you know, I learned the hard way. And I had a very good customer, and he used another company, and I started, you know, saying, why would you use them? We're so much better. And even though, I mean, this was a man that I played racquetball with. We were very good friends. He really, really came down on me. And he was right. I was insulting him. I was insulting his decision. I was insulting his choice. And I had no right to do that. I had no right to talk bad about the competition. You know, when a customer is going on and on about who they use, of course, well, this is what the competition does, and this is what we do. But never, you know, oh, my God, why do you use them? You know, they're this, they're that. No, use that as a platform to say, okay, I understand, I know who they are, and this is what we do. This is what we do. So it was a very valuable lesson. You know, always take the high road. Always, always, always take the high road in business. And, you know, again, we resonate with that. We definitely all as human beings resonate with that.
Got a quick follow-up on this one. So if you have someone that you're speaking with and they're talking about your competitor, would you take that as an opportunity to say, well, this is how my company is different from that company, or would you just not?
Yes, yes. You know, if they're using, let's say for me personally, if they're using a company like mine, I know about that company and I know what they do. I know what they offer and I know what we offer. And I could say, I know that they offer better pricing. But I also know that if there's a claim, if there is a problem, that you have to go through their computer system where we have people on our end. So it's not that you're putting the other company down, but you're using the other companies, what they have to offer, what you can do better.
Got it.
But you're not saying, oh, you know, if you use them, good luck if you have a claim,
right,
because they're not going to help you. We do. Totally different.
Yeah, so just use it as a springboard.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Excellent.
Again, always taking the high road.
You know, one of the other principles that you drive home in your book, and the book I'm referring to for our listeners is Everything I Know as a CEO, I Learned as a Waitress. You talk about always expect a miracle. Tell us
Absolutely.
More about that.
I have always, and I guess it was back to my days of a waitress where I would just go in and pray and say, God, I need a miracle here. I need to make, you know, $100 tonight to pay for the rent. And more times than not, I would. I'd get a big party, I'd get a big tip, and it came so often to me that I realized that there was something to it. So even today, 30 years later, I still do that. I'm always expecting. I wake up in the morning and I'm always expecting a miracle today. Always. That something great is going to happen. And then this way, I'm always in the state of expectancy. So when things happen, as we all know, great things happen to people, and they're like, God, can you believe how that happened? It's like, wow, that was, I'm expecting it to happen. And when you expect it to happen, wow, then things start coming, and more things come, and more things come. If you think, oh, today's another day, it's going to be just like yesterday. Oh, how am I going to do it? You're at a vibration that, you know, the law of attraction. And good luck. Good things are, you know, good things aren't going to come to you, because even if they did, you wouldn't know they were good. So I believe in that. I believe in the law of attraction. I believe in miracles, and I believe whether they are big, small, always be in the state of expectancy and just wait and watch what happens and give thanks and be grateful when they do happen.
And be ready.
And be ready. Be ready to receive. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Be ready at all times to receive.
Yeah, that was one of the things.
Maybe it's something really silly. Maybe it's something, you know, grand. But it's something that happened where you say, thank you. Wow. Okay. I was expecting something good today, and that just happened. This customer called. The shipment came in. This guy called. Asked you for a date. You know, your son brought home an A. Whatever it is. And you're like, wow, I was expecting that. I was like, thank you. Always be in the state of gratitude. And the more you're in gratitude, the more miracles come.
So you have a foundation called Expect a Miracle.
Yes, yes.
And tell us about this foundation.
The foundation was set up about 13 years ago. It's for children of single moms, single parents. It's mainly moms. That we can help them with extracurricular activities. So they can play baseball, football, any type of sport, musical instrument, anything to help enrich the life of a child of a single parent. As a single mom, you know, in different parts of my evolution, I know how difficult it is. You're very alone. You don't have any money. You barely can pay the bills, and yet you have these children that have definite wants, definite needs. They need their self-esteem enriched, and it's very difficult. It's very difficult. So they can play a sport, and they can get it there because a coach, teammates, being in competition, that enriches the life of a child. So we've been able to help over 7,000 children in 13 years, so I'm very proud of that.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So how do people get involved with your foundation?
Well, we have a website, expectamiraclefoundation.org. You can make donations there. You can go in and find out how you file a request. We have a big bowling event this year in August 11th, I think it is. So we're always looking for sponsorship. We're always looking for help. Truly, if people say, well, this is something, I was a child of a single mom, or I'm a single mom, but I'm in a better place, we certainly, the donations are 100% given to the children. It's run by my employees, so 100% of the proceeds go right back. They come in, they go right back out.
So the best way for people to get involved with this is to go to
www.expectamiraclefoundation.org? Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
Expectamiracle.org.
Foundation.
So, pardon me?
Expectamiraclefoundation.org.
Ah, expectamiraclefoundation.org.
Yes.
All right, glad we got that right. You know, good. This book that you published, Everything I Know as a CEO I Learned as a Waitress, is absolutely phenomenal. I think every mother should give this to her daughter.
Yeah.
It just has so many, I mean, it's okay for guys to read it too, but
I wrote it for really the underdog that, you know, oh, it'll never happen to me. Sure, it can happen to her, you know, for whatever reason. No, it doesn't work like that. Blessings come to anybody and everybody. And they're simple life rules, life lessons. If you just follow them, you'd be surprised. You would definitely be surprised the great, wonderful things that life have to offer. We don't have to go through it, you know, being dragged through the mud. We can live a very rich and abundant life.
How can people get hold of this book?
They can go to the Carol and Gable website and order it there. We have it there. They can also get it on Amazon, but we'd rather have you go through the website. I can sign it then for you.
And thank you for signing my book. I appreciate that very much.
Oh, you're so welcome. Good.
And I love it when you signed, you said, to Deanne, expect miracles. And then you signed it underneath. I went, oh, yeah, you rock.
You know what? It's so funny. When I say that to people or I put it on my email, or it just brings hope to people that, wow, I could expect a miracle. Yeah, you can, of course. God doesn't say, okay, Carolyn, you can have, but Deanne, nope, not for you. Or Joanne, sorry, you're not getting it. It doesn't work like that. Miracles are here for everybody. That is our birthright.
Oh, well, Carolyn, thank you very much for being on today's show.
Oh, my pleasure.
I really enjoyed you to be on today's show. And again, it's expectamiraclefoundation.org. And if you want to get the book, go to Carolyn Gable, G-A-B-L-E, at her website, and you can get it from there.
All right.
So again, thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. I really enjoyed it.
You know, after the break, we're going to talk about procrastination and how to be a procrastination buster and break through the procrastination issues. So until flip side, we'll talk to you in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm. on Facebook along with some of the greatest minds of the world. And that includes you. Visit us on Facebook at Voice America Empowerment.
When you make decisions, do you ever find yourself in doubt? Are you trying to figure out what's right with you? Are you ready to truly change your life? Listen for the Access Consciousness Radio Show with the founders of Access Consciousness, Gary Douglas and Dr. Dane Heer. Consciousness is all about including everything and judging nothing. Our program will help you break free from your personal limitations and enhance positive change in all areas of your life. Tune in to Access Consciousness Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Empowerment.
Wealth Solutions for the 99% is a weekly talk show focused on helping you develop and execute a game plan to build wealth. Your host, Paul LaJoy, who built a $50 million plus company in less than 5 years, believes it's impossible to be poor in America, and he'll show you why with his innovative strategies. Joining Paul as co-host is radio personality Kim Reed, an experienced entrepreneur and corporate leader who's known as the Corporatepreneur. The show is upbeat, fun, and informative. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel, voiceamericaempowerment.com.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at deannedemarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at DeanneDeMarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco with Today's Inspiring Women. On this second half, I have a recovering procrastinator, Rita Emmett. Rita was born the world's greatest procrastinator. She converted and is now a recovering procrastinator. For example, she took 18 years to complete her 4-year bachelor's degree, but only 3 years later, she earned her master's degree in adult learning while raising children and working as at a counseling agency. Rita is an author whose first book, The Procrastinator's Handbook, sold over 100,000 copies in the first year. She's been featured in over 312 interviews, including one with Katie Couric, and is published in 32 countries. She is convinced that once you break the procrastination habit, you will not only get more done and start doing some of the things you've been hoping to do, but you also feel more energized, and ending your procrastination habit is possibly one of the very best gifts you can give yourself. Now, Rita loves to live life to the max. She has driven a race car. She's rafted the whitewater rafts. She's hugged dolphins, and she loves to laugh. So, Rita, welcome to Today's Inspiring Women.
Thank you, Deanne. I'm delighted to be with you today.
So you say that you are the world's greatest procrastinator and that you are now the recovering procrastinator. So what caused that shift?
I was at a point that nothing in my life was working. I was in a miserable marriage. I was at a deadbeat negative job. Nothing was working, and I just prayed and prayed. And the day I prayed, "This is it, Lord, I've got to make a change," I heard Tony Robbins, of all people. I hear a lot of people put him down, but listen to what he said. He said the thing that holds you back are your beliefs. If you believe you can't do something, it's your belief holding you back. So ask the question, why can't you? Is it fear? So I sat down and made a list of what I wanted to do that I wasn't doing. And I realized over and over again, I'd say, well, I don't even want to join that church committee because, well, I'll never follow up. I'm such a procrastinator. I could never be on my own, not being married. I could never earn money because I'm such a procrastinator. I can't switch, blah, blah, blah. Over and over, my beliefs were I felt I was born a procrastinator. And so that day I started to change my beliefs and realize procrastination is not a personality flaw we're born with or a character trait. It's a habit, and I could change that habit. And the very next day, I woke up feeling very optimistic, and the first thing I saw was a quote by Henry Ford that said, if you say you can't or you say you can't, you're right. And I realized it was simply belief. So that's what started the shift. It took a long time, Deanne. I didn't change that day, but mm-hmm. that started the shift.
Interesting. So how does one go about changing this procrastination habit?
I started off realizing I'm always overwhelmed with too many things to do. So I would pick just one thing. And then I started looking at why don't I accomplish those one things? Because, I don't know if you ever did this, I would decide to clear the clutter off my dining room table or off my desk. But then I'd realize that, oh, here's a bill that needs to be paid. So I'd bring it to where I keep the bills. And then I'd realize there's other bills. And now, oh, here's a note that I need to call somebody. And all of a sudden, at the end of the day, there would be 15 things started, nothing completed, and I would think, well, I was multitasking. But it's not multitasking if you're not getting anything done. And so mm-hmm. I realized I would set aside 1 hour or 30 minutes, X amount of minutes to do something, and during that time I would ignore everything else and not take any breaks. And that was new to me. And I compare it to when you go to a gym and you first start working out on any kind of exercise, you feel uncoordinated, your muscles ache. I found that I was saying to myself, I'm exercising a discipline muscle, and I need to know it feels awkward to have the phone ringing or emails coming in. Well, at the time, I converted before I was into emails. But, I mean, it was mm-hmm. awkward to ignore everything else. But eventually, I got that discipline muscle going. I'll be honest with you, Deanne, I was teaching 8-week classes in continuing ed at colleges on time management, and procrastination is part of that. And I would send them home and say, try this and try that. And that's mm-hmm. where I came up with this. They'd come back and say, well, that didn't work, or that did work. And so I was coming up with a strategy. Select just one thing to do. Ignore everything else. No breaks. I was coming up with things that worked for me and for them.
So can people really change?
Yes. Yes, and I say that unequivocally. It's simply a habit. Everybody knows you can break a habit. And over, I hear from people all the time, they are thrilled to have finally stopped procrastinating. They thought it would never happen. I do know there are people who never have a tendency to procrastinate, and I always seem to have that tendency. So I don't say I'm a recovered procrastinator. I say I'm recovering. And if I start to lean towards putting something off, I go back to thinking about, okay, let's just select one thing to do. And then I set a timer. I believe in setting a timer because many procrastinators think that they don't have any sense of time. They think this job will take forever, and I don't have forever to spend on it. But mm-hmm. if we spend just an hour, I'll tell you a quick story. A woman told me in one of my classes, she said, I'd come home exhausted from work, and I'd say to myself, I don't want to spend the whole evening clearing off the table and loading the dishwasher. So she'd leave the plates on the table. And by the next morning, she said, if you ever left spaghetti sauce on a plate overnight, you could make a driveway out of it. It's like concrete. And she realized doing it in the morning took four times as long as doing it at night. So when we started this thing, she put on a timer for a half hour, and it was the ignore everything else that was doing her in. That's what saved her. Wow. And she realized it took 17 minutes to clear the table and load the dishwasher. So the belief that was holding her back was, I don't have time or energy to spend all evening, because she did spend all evening doing it. But now the belief changed. Oh, I do have time or energy to spend 17 minutes and then wake up in the morning with everything done. And so when procrastinators start setting a timer and deciding I'm going to devote a half hour, you know, if you devote a half hour to your clutter and you don't take a trip down memory lane, you don't read every letter you come across, you find places to put it, files to put it in, you do a half hour every week and you start seeing stuff disappear. And you do an hour every week and it's astonishing.
You spend 10 minutes on your bathroom medicine cabinet every week, and in a month you're going to look at it and say, wow, I can find stuff. So I have a timer on my desk now, and I don't even know how to run a business without having a timer anymore. I use it for everything.
I mean, that's a really good suggestion. I never quite thought of it in that time frame before.
You know, when you have a conference call coming up and you're on the phone with somebody and the timer goes off and you go, oh, sorry, I have to get going. You never miss stuff anymore with a timer.
Interesting. Is there, I would think that there was a definite link between procrastination and success. Is there?
I do believe it. I believe procrastination keeps us from reaching our goals and moving in the direction we want to move in. Once in a while, we hear a person, an anchor person on TV, a successful person say, oh, I'm a procrastinator. But they can't possibly be a great procrastinator because then they wouldn't be on time for TV. They wouldn't be prepared. Maybe they get everything done at work, but they procrastinate at home. I procrastinated about everything, and that kept me back from any form of success.
Interesting.
I believe, but it's a good
question.
Is there a sense of
fear around procrastination?
Absolutely. Very good. Very good question. I believe that very often, if you know, selecting just one thing and setting a timer and ignoring everything else and not taking breaks, when that doesn't work, then almost 100% of the time it's fear. I was afraid to be divorced. I was afraid to be on my own. I was afraid to change my life. But many of the fears, fear of failure. Everybody understands fear of failure, but a lot of people hold themselves back from fear of success. Oh, they don't write that book or start that business or go back to college because they're afraid of success, because that might bring more responsibility in their life. Or maybe if I'm successful, I won't have time to be a good mom, that type thing. And it could be fear of the unknown or fear of people judging us or fear of maybe making mistakes or fear of change. One of the biggest causes of stress in the world is fear of change and fear of the unknown. And there's obviously fear of being rejected, fear of making the wrong decision, tons of fears. Sometimes the fear is so big we can't identify it. But here's the thing, Deanne. I believe that as long as that fear is down in our subconscious, it has the power to immobilize us, to paralyze us. But once we spend time and we try to identify it, put a name on it, sometimes I have to journal to figure out what it is. Once it's identified, it loses its power. And we'll say to ourselves, am I going to really let fear of rejection affect my life and not ask any friends to join me for a cup of coffee and be lonely? No, it becomes, when we identify it, it loses its power.
Interesting. So almost name your fear.
Identify. You betcha. Yes.
That could be a title of a book.
Figure out what it is. Once you figure out what it is.
Name that fear.
There's our game show, you and me. But a mom told a quick story of they were getting ready to move, and she had three girls, two teenagers and one about 11 or 12, and nobody was starting to pack. And she was talking to me about it, and I said, they're so afraid of the unknown, they're immobilized. So they all sat around the table. She talked about she's scared, too. They're going to be starting a new school. She's going to be starting a new job. The unknown, they all talked about. She said, let's talk about what we're afraid of. And it was like something got released, and they were helping each other pack, but immediately they were able to start packing up. It's really odd, but it really is true.
So naming that fear is very liberating, is what I hear you say. I think this is very interesting. You know, we have to take a quick break here. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about how people can actually break that procrastination habit. This is Deanne DeMarco with Rita Emmett, and we'll come back to you with today's Inspiring Women.
Live up to your fullest potential. This is the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
The challenges facing our teens today mean that more than ever, we need to be there to support them and encourage them. The Dr. STEM Show is here to provide discussions about topics that will help promote healthy relationships, self-image, and success for teens, parents, and the community. our young people can achieve more in life than they ever dreamed possible. The Dr. STEM Show, hosted by Dr. STEM Malatini, will foster these discussions and encourage your participation. Listen every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific, and 9 p.m. GMT on Voice America Empowerment.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at DeanneDeMarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at DeanneDeMarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco, Today's Inspiring Women, and we are talking to Rita Emmett, the procrastinator who is a recovering procrastinator, and she's teaching the rest of us on how we can break through the procrastination habit and get more things done. You know, Rita, one of the questions I've got to ask you is, you know, there are certain tasks that I just, like, hate to do. And how do you get people like me to break through and do those tasks that I just don't want to do?
Great question. And also a variation of it. People will ask, how can I start liking a job I hate to do? I don't think we ever will. This is where we need to think about rewards. There are certain things I hate to do, such as write a proposal, and I will never get myself to like it. So what reward will get me to do it? What I use is I love coffee in the morning, but I only let myself have one cup. Then when I get to work to my desk, I do 1 hour. I set my timer, and I do 1 hour of either making quick calls, filling out forms, doing the proposal. Soon as the timer dings, Deanne, I can have all the coffee I want. So nothing is going to get me to want to do that proposal. But the coffee will get me to do practically anything. And that, so we need to understand the power of rewards. Little rewards for little jobs, big rewards for big jobs. What can we give ourselves? Of course, a cruise to Hawaii would be a wonderful reward for clearing the clutter off our desk. That's not going to happen. What can we give ourselves that will get us to tackle that clutter? Thanks for asking that, though. That's so important.
I think that's a really good strategy.
Mm-hmm.
So you just give yourself that one little cup in the morning until you get those tasks done, and then you can have all the coffee you want.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds to me like now coffee wouldn't do anything for me. So the reward has to be meaningful to the person.
Absolutely, yes. So for some people, they don't let themselves watch TV that day till they put in an hour of whatever they hated to do. For some, it's that glass of wine. For some, it's the reward is calling. A friend just told me she called her best friend who just recently moved to Colorado and said, do you have time for a visit? I just put in an hour on income taxes, and I want to have a visit with you. And that was her reward. It's whatever you love.
Very interesting. So how do people go about breaking this procrastination habit?
I call it a strategy called STING, S-T-I-N-G, and it's what we just talked about. The five-step thing spelling out STING, S, and if S is select one thing to do, T is time yourself for a half hour, an hour, whatever, I ignore everything else, N, no breaks, G, give yourself a reward. It's not get a reward. We don't have control over people rewarding us. Give yourself a reward. And that's what I use all the time. On my web, there's a little thing at the bottom that says looking for Sting, and it's not the rock star. You click on it, and you get a little, I get that all the time. You get a little picture of a bumblebee with a crunched up stinger, and it's all spelled out there, and you can print it out. It's free, and people have these little bumblebees with Sting all over the place.
That's very cool. Great acronym.
Thank you.
Sting. I love that. Is there a connection between a person being a perfectionist procrastination as well?
You are nailing it. Yes, there is. I'm not advocating, yes, perfection is one of the biggest causes of procrastination, that we say, I don't have the time or the energy to do it perfectly, so I'm not going to do it at all. And we apply it to little things like cleaning the garage or big things like starting a new business, or a salesman say, oh, I need to learn more about a product. I'm not an advocate of saying, well, accept mediocrity. I don't think any of your listeners who tune in to your show would accept mediocrity. I'm saying excellence is achievable. If you have a standard of excellence, it's achievable. A standard of perfection is hardly ever achievable. Many Native Americans, when they do their beadwork, picture a beaded belt with and they'll deliberately put a flaw in it to remind them that only God is perfect. We are imperfect people, and we will not be, and I use that as a reminder to myself that, I'd love to do this perfectly, but I am not capable of doing it perfectly, but I will do the very best I can. And that used to hold me back a lot. I don't have the time or the energy to do it perfectly, so I'm going to put it off. Used to hold me back a lot.
Interesting. I just want to backtrack this a little bit. I started to write down sting, and I didn't get them all really clear. S was select one thing.
Good.
T is
time yourself for however
time
long.
Time yourself on how long you think you can get that. It's going to take you to do that job.
Yeah,
what was the
chunks of time, 30 minutes or an hour at the most. I is ignore everything else.
Ignore everything else. And
that's
M
hard
was?
To do. No breaks.
No breaks. And G was give yourself a reward.
Yeah, thanks for not saying get a reward. It's give yourself one.
Give yourself a reward. I really do like that. I think it's a great way of starting that path.
Kids respond to it. Kids love it. Parents go out and buy their kids their own timer in the shape of a hamburger or something. And depending on the kid's age, energy, or attention span, maybe they'll only set it for 10 minutes. But for many procrastinators, they've never spent a full 30 minutes or hour or 10 minutes especially if they have attention problems, they've never spent a full chunk of time without starting a million other things. And once you start this, you're developing a muscle to help you focus and do one thing at a time. And a lot of time, multitasking is fine if you don't have to focus on two things at the same time. But, if you and I are doing this radio show and I'm also trying to send an important email, I'm going to do neither one well because they both take a focus.
Mm-hmm.
So multitasking only works if you can concentrate on one and the other thing is automatic, loading a dishwasher or folding clothes or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing that during our interview, Dan. Don't worry.
I appreciate that. So what I'm also hearing is that this works for children as well as adults.
They love it. They love finding out that they can, a lot of times the kids will say, I used to do this. I would say, I really studied last night and I flunked the test anyway. And Deanne, I never opened the book, but I twirled. I used to stand in my room and twirl. And then I'd go pick up stuff and move it around and that, but never opened a book. Whereas here, if they do 10 minutes when they never did anything else before, they start to see results. 10 minutes of doing something when you did nothing is better than anything else, and it works.
I can see how that would be very, very helpful. Well, you've got this book out on procrastination. Tell us the name of your book and how people can get a copy of it.
The Procrastinator's Handbook. It's available in most bookstores and on Amazon and at my website, which is very cleverly named RitaEmmett.com. Boy, we had a lot of committee meetings on that, Deanne. Isn't that a creative? I know.
And spell Emmett for our audience.
Oh, E-M-M-E-T-T. There's two E's, two M's, and two T's. E-M-M-E-T-T.
All right. The Procrastinator's Handbook. And it's been published in all these different languages?
Yes, it's in 32 countries. I have my book in Hebrew and in Japanese. It's very cool. When I first got it in Japanese, I was so excited. And that night we were going to my brother's house, and I brought it with. And I said, look, my name's in Japanese. And we're looking at these characters going up and down. And it's on the back of the cover, what to us is the back. And he says, oh, where's your name? And I'm like, how would I know? I just pointed to something and said, that's it. I don't know. To this day. I don't know what my name looks like.
If people want to get some help from you with eliminating procrastination for their lives, how do they get hold of you? Through your website?
Yes, through my website, or my phone number is 847-699-9950, or they could dial 877, like seven's your lucky number. It's like an 800 number, but it's 877 handbook. And I offer help on a lot of levels. One is I'm a speaker, and I do training sessions or speak at conferences. Another level is my books. I have a book on procrastination, one to help kids stop procrastinating, one on clutter and one on stress. My website focuses on procrastination, clutter, and stress. And if you love books, we got books. If you love to read, to listen, we've got CDs and downloads. If you like to watch TV, we've got DVDs, and we even have some online courses. So I know people learn in different ways, and there's lots of different ways to get help.
Well, great. Well, Rita, thank you very much for being on today's Inspiring Women and the Procrastinator's Handbook. And it looks like it can be easily acquired, which is really helpful for our audience.
It's
so again,
my pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You're a terrific interviewer. Thanks. It's my pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Rita. Thank you. And this show is being sponsored by Breaking Boundaries International, where their services include business coaching for entrepreneurs and business professionals. If you are looking to become a sponsor for this show, give us a call at 708-836-0118. If you're looking to promote your product or service, give us a call at 708-836-0118. And I'd like to end today's show with a quote. And this quote is by Amelia Earhart, who, as you know, is an American aviation pioneer. And she says, the most difficult thing is the decision to act. The rest is merely tenacity. The fears are paper tigers. You can do anything you decide to do. You can act to change and control your life. And the procedure, the process, is its own reward. Again, that's by Amelia Earhart, American aviation pioneer. Well, this is Deanne DeMarco with today's Inspiring Women. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for all your emails. I appreciate it. My listening audience, without you, this show would not be possible. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And until next week, this is Deanne. We'll have a wonderful week.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Today's Inspiring Women. Please join host Deanne DeMarco and other entrepreneurial and business leaders next Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Have an outstanding week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.